بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد My respected and honorable friends, let us correct our intention. We are sitting here solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to learn in order to attain the reward of performing 1,000 rakats of nafal salah, which has been mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To get this magnitude of reward, let's each one of us intend with sincerity. My dear respected friends, knowledge of deen is light. Like Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, al-ilmu nurun, that knowledge is light. This is light that comes into the heart of a mu'min. And the mu'min practicing on this ilm, on this knowledge, will guide him onto the straight path. It is light that we need to take us out from the darkness of ignorance. But as was mentioned yesterday, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, that Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi say that there are two types of people. One is those who know nothing. Because they don't know anything, they cannot make amal, they cannot act. The second group, which is a worse group, is those that know but don't want to make amal. Now, my dear respected friends, if we don't make amal, if we don't practice on the knowledge that we have attained, will not be a light for us, for our guidance towards the hereafter. It will not bring us onto the Sirat al-Mustaqim. All our devotions, all our worships, we won't be doing it according to the way the Sharia, the religion has shown us. We'll do it our way, how we think best it is, which will be contrary to the teachings of the Quran Kareem and the Ahadith of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, my dear respected friends, it is seen, really, believe me, that things are taught, ahadiths are taught, things are taught here, but nobody wants to make amal. From two nights or three nights, they are speaking on the turban. They advised us on the turban, if you wear a turban and you perform your salah is 70 times more virtuous. But nobody got that money to buy the turban and wear the turban. Can always send somebody outside to the shop that is here, buy a turban, wear a turban. Your salah is 70 times better. Yesterday it had been shown that after you complete your farz salat, after you have made salam, read once Allahu Akbar, thrice istighfar, the third time loud. Nobody reads it, you don't hear it in the masjid. My dear respected friends, in the end, it shows that this majlis is just for entertainment. We are just entertaining ourselves by listening to the deen. Rather, we resort to a storybook, the lives of our Buzurgane deen, and read out of that. Possibly, that may change your lives. So I request Ustad and Ababakar, the Amir of the Etikaf, please review the situation. My dear respected friends, if you practice on the deen, if you practice on what you have learned, and you practice on the sunnah of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gradually, you will attain the love of Allah. And with that love of Allah, you will inculcate in your hearts the fear of Allah. For a sahaba was on his deathbed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to visit him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked the Sahaba, "What are you experiencing?" So he said that whilst I am now in the throes of death, I am fearing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will throw me into the fire of Jahannam. Because of my amals, because of my sins that I have committed. But at the same time, I'm looking at the mercy of Allah, and through the mercy of Allah, Allah will make me enter the gardens of paradise. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the statement from the Sahaba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Your iman is complete." So it shows to us that iman consists of two things: love of Allah and fear of Allah. No one-way journey. Now the more fear of Allah that we inculcate in our hearts, if we learn something about the deen, for example about the turban, it is not a faraz, it is not a wajib. But our pious elders, our buzurgane deen, leave aside a faraz, a wajib, a sunnati muakkada, even a sunnah. If they did not practice on a mustahab, they used to punish themselves. Can you imagine what stages they must have reached by that? It is said truly that if a person looks after his nawafil, then his sunnati muakkada will be, sunnati ghair muakkada will be looked after. And if his sunnat ghair muakkada get left looked after, then his sunnat muakkada get left looked after. And if the sunnat muakkada get looked after, the wajib get looked after. And the wajib get looked after, the faraz get looked after. So if we practice on the smaller things, the bigger things will look after its own. Now, my dear respected friends, when we build that fear of Allah within ourselves, then we reach a stage of taqwa. Now taqwa has also two stages. The lower stage of taqwa, which every Muslim possesses, and that is that Muslim knows and he believes deeply and he has faith that la ilaha illallah, that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah. And he knows that if he goes contrary to this belief, he will go to the fire of Jahannam, he will become a kafir. That fear he got in himself. So that is also taqwa, but that is a very, very low stage of taqwa. Now, highest stages of taqwa is what the deen want to the T you'll follow it. Not a bit on this side, not a bit on that side. Therefore, brothers ask, the laws of the etiquette is also, do not use cell phones. Because the highest state of taqwa is you have come to this masjid to attach yourself to Allah. Now when you're attaching yourself to Allah, it is required that you don't attach yourself to anybody else. That is the only time that you are going to get the marifat, recognition and the love of Allah. When you give 100% to yourself. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi, 4 generations down from Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is our sheikh in the chain of sheikhs. And we know that Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi was a king, he was a sultan, ruling over a big, vast kingdom. We don't want to get into the in-depth of the story, how he left and what he did. Finally, he left his kingdom, went into the jungle, and after many, many years, he began staying in Makkah Mukarramah. After many years, his son had grown into an adult and said, "Let me go and visit my father and see how my father is faring. How's he doing?" He came to Makkah and he asked many people, "Who is Ibrahim bin Adham? Because many years had passed, he never recognized who his father is, didn't know who his father is, and the people showed the dead pious man that is making tawaf of the Kaaba is Ibrahim bin Adham. Ibrahim bin Adham had reached such a high stage in the eyes of Allah that Allah had opened his eyes in the heart to see. When he saw his son, he immediately recognized that this is my son. Though he never see him also for a lengthy period of time. And that love of his son came into his heart. Immediately, he got admonishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Ibrahim, in your heart do you have love for me and your son too? This brought a frightful state into Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham. And immediately he lifted his hand and told Allah, you either take him or you take me. And immediately his son passed away. My dear respected friends, if you want to reach Allah, you have to be solely just for Allah. That's why you have two stages here. One stage is, don't use the cell phone at all. Connect yourself to Allah. Over 50% of the brothers in the Etikaf are breaking the law. They're using the cell phones. They go there upstairs and speak. We don't scream at them. We don't shout at them. We don't fight with them. But who are you going to fight when the Amir of the Etikaf, Sheikh Ababakar, standing next to me in the Taraweeh? His cell phone the whole Taraweeh period going on, off, on, off, on, off. Disturbance. Every single day, we hear people's cell phones ringing in a masjid. Disturbance. As long as our work get done, it's okay. We can't be cared if that cell phone rings, somebody get disturbed, that is their problems. We are true Indians. Indians can't be bothered. As long as their work get done, can't be worried about what other people get into the mixture. So my dear respected friends, you want to use the cell phone, use it. You don't want to use it, don't use it. You know what the line is where we have drawn it. My dear respected friends, laws, rules and regulations are made that you can spiritually advance yourself. If you break them, you are the loser. The Khanqa and the personnel of the Khanqa are not losers. You are the losers. So my dear respected friends, we only ask you for the month of Ramadan, dedicate and sacrifice yourself for Allah, and you will find your spiritual life to be different after Ramadan. Now my dear respected friends, are we fighting our two enemies, Shaitan and our carnal desire? What fight have we got against the carnal desire? What are we going against the carnal desire? My dear respected friends, the carnal desire, when there is a variety of food served to you, it is that to fight that carnal desire with the food being present. Not that you're fighting your carnal desire that there is no food. Food is not present. That is not fighting. Fighting means it being present and you don't eat it. You look at it, you lust lekker, you want to eat it, you don't eat it. That is fighting the carnal desire. Now we read a story about the carnal desire, how our Buzurgani Deen were really, really, really. They had sacrificed and dedicated their lives for Allah and had got really, really fight their nafs and got taqwa from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabi bin Khaytham radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a very renowned tabi'in. Tabi'in is a Muslim that enjoyed the company of a sahaba. Now, once when he was bedridden with severe illness, he developed an intense desire to eat chicken. He suppressed his desire for 40 days. He suppressed for 40 days. Yeah, people can't even suppress it for 4 days. Come, my dear respected friends, we can become like them. After 40 days, when the desire remained intense, he informed his wife. After preparing the chicken dish, she presented it to Hazrat Rabi. As he was about to begin to eat the chicken, a beggar appeared at the door and asked for some food. Hazrat Rabi rahmatullah alayhi, without even having tasted it, instructed his wife to give the whole chicken to the beggar. She remonstrated with him and said that he should eat the chicken. She would give the beggar something better and more useful than the chicken. When he asked his wife what that was, she said that she would give the beggar the value of the chicken in cash. The beggar will be happier with the money than the chicken. Hazrat Rabi said, "Bring the money to me." When she brought the money, he told her, "Now give this chicken as well as the money to the beggar." She complied. He deprived himself of the chicken and the natural desire of his nafs by giving both the chicken and the money to the beggar. This was the way in which our illustrious predecessors trained and adorned their nafs with taqwa. Come, my dear respected friends, we all can do it. But we got to make an effort, we got to fight. And if you are going to train your nafs in the month of Ramadan, I promise you after Ramadan, it is going to help you with your taqwa and increasing your connection with Allah. Now, as far as the virtues of the Holy Quran are concerned, the reading of the Quran is the best means of getting access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the Quran is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So during this month of Ramadan, my dear respected friends, read Quran in abundance. The more you are going to read, the more zikr of Allah you are going to make, and the more access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you are going to get. And what is this access to Allah? The access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when you're going to lift your hands to make dua. Allah is readily going to accept it because you are reading the Quran, you are cleansing your heart, you are attaching yourself to Allah. So my dear respected friends, spend all your extra time that you have in the recitation of the Quran. May Allah give me, you and all the Muslims the tawfiq to read much Quran-e-Kareem. Now we go to the topic on zikr. A person that makes the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes slowly, gradually, closer and closer to Allah. We should all remember that the thing that is most hurtful to shaitan is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a mu'min makes zikr, shaitan will try every avenue to make that mu'min stop making the zikr. Why? Because the zikr is one method whereby we can get closer to Allah, like Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith have mentioned, by a person making zikr, if he comes closer, Allah Ta'ala says in Hadith Qudsi, if he comes closer to me by one span, I go towards him a cubit's length. If he comes towards me a cubit's length, I go towards him an arm's length. And if he walks towards me, I run unto him. Now, my dear respected friends, from this hadith we learn that Allah wants us more than we want Allah. Like if we walk to Allah, Allah will run to us. But it is only that we have to fight our carnal desires, make up our minds, get to Allah and go to Allah. Allah is waiting with open arms. Our carnal desire and shaitan, as has been mentioned, are blocking us from it. So if we can train our carnal desires in this month of Ramadan, where we have ample opportunity to do it, inshallah, the effects of shaitan will also not affect you after Ramadan. For the next hadith is, zikr keeps away the shaitan and weakens his strength. That is from the hadith of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us be very, very punctual with our zikrs. Whenever the zikrs are made, let us sit in the zikr majlises and make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, my dear respected friends, in the last 24 hours, how much did we speak when we are not supposed to be speaking in the etikaf? I did not make the statement in the beginning of Ramadan for nothing. If you can learn to shut your mouth, you'll become a wali by end of Ramadan. In the morning, I don't know, man, what kind of bedding these people in the etikaf brought. When they're laying their bedding, the beddings are talking. They are very good, they don't talk. Because human beings don't make no mistake. They are perfect. They're always shoving the blame onto somebody else. So please, lock your blankets, tell them in the morning not to talk. My dear respected brothers, you have come here for itikaf, you have come to collect yourself. Stop talking. If you don't talk for 30 days, I promise you, you won't die. I promise you won't die. And I promise you won't get sick either. And I promise you, you won't lose anything else. It is, we don't want to adhere to Allah's commands. My dear respected friends, in a hadith of Tirmizi, Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us, telling us, do you know what will be the foremost in leading people to the fire of hell? What's going to take you there the quickest and the fastest? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning us. He tells us, two hollow things. The mouth and the private part. We have to learn to control these two things, my dear. It don't come on its own. And practice makes perfect. Try now, my dear respected friends. Since you are talking so much, that you punish yourself the moment you speak. If you punish yourself, for certain people, salah is hard. For certain people, Quran reading is hard. For some people, giving out charity is difficult. So do those things that are difficult, punish yourself, and inshallah, that is mujahida that you will make. And when you make the mujahida, Allah will show you the path. So inshallah, all of us are going to try very hard to remain silent. Please tell your beds not to speak in the morning. Because I'm sitting and doing my wazifas there and there's too much noise outside. I don't know what happened to Mali Isaac. He passed away, he's still alive. The sleeping air is after Isha now. Okay. Right, now as far as du'as are concerned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not generally return a hand empty when it is raised up to heaven with a du'a. The Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي كَرِيمٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. When my servant asks you about me, say that certainly I am very near. I respond to the dua of an invoker when he calls me. So let them invoke me and put faith in me so that they may find the right way. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when this has been the order for making dua from divine knowledge of Allah, men should have no doubt to resort to dua. So lengthen your duas, read many duas during the day, lift your hands, and inshallah, by you continuously making dua, Allah ta'ala will accept your duas. And tomorrow we will speak about, not tomorrow, Friday. Tomorrow is durood. On Friday we will inshallah speak about everybody's du'as getting accepted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy upon me, you and all the Muslims. Believe me, my dear respected friends, we learn the deen, but don't practice on it. It is hopeless to learn it. Learn it to practice what you hear, practice inshallah. It will bring you closer and closer and closer to Allah and closer and closer to the deen. I was supposed to also explain about Maulana Ganchi in this morning in the Fajr Namaz, reading the Amma Surah in the end, the last few ayats, is great lesson for us. But now it is already 16 minutes, my time is up, we'll see some other time. Inshallah, we will still speak on that Amma story. Wa akhir dawana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.